Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
We're just keeping it just like we've been the last several weeks. You know, I think we're in a good place right now as a team. We've battled through a lot earlier on in the season. I like where we're at. We're focused. We're not letting a lot of things get in our way distraction-wise. And I think that's just a sign of kind of who we are. So we've been playing well right now together, all three phases. We just want to try to keep that going. We fought back to get to 7-6. It's not exactly where we wanted to be when we started the season, but we were able to fight through that tough patch there. And I think that now we understand that we're in a position where every game matters. And so that's all we can do is have a great week of practice and guys keep staying positive like they are. And then when we get up there to Green Bay, let's just go play our game and see where it takes us.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Bears head coach Matt Nagy. He was on this morning, as he is every Monday morning, yeah, with our buddy Josh Liss on WBBM.
It's nice
our
of coach to get up and pick up the phone and call the radio station.
That was
not
good.
That hard. No. And that's good to hear from him. And
no doubt about it.
He's got to be looking at this week as an opportunity. You can't rule anything out if you're, you know, the head coach of the Bears and a team that's won three in a row. I think we all understand the realities here and how limited they could be because of everything that happened yesterday. It wasn't a Bears loss. But this doesn't feel like a victory Monday, Mully, because of everything else that happened in the league.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you feel like you turned a corner, but you need some help, and then you don't get any, and it feels like the sands of time, Mr. David, are sprinkling down quicker than ever.
Is that a
such as the
the days of our Bears?
Yeah, the Bears. Matt Nagy was mic'd up.
He was.
So it's fun when you get a chance to hear totally impromptu conversation.
Totally.
I don't think he even knew he was mic'd up. I think they secretly mic'd him up because this stuff is of real value.
Boom, goes the coach.
Every day we improve, right?
Yep.
Reset, job play. Not done.
Yes, sir.
Play by play, next play mentality.
Gotcha.
Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Proud of you. Way to go. Way to get that dub. I love the celebrations. Don't ever, ever, ever take these for granted. Don't ever do it, right? Way to go. Let's go. Here we go.
I'm just going to tell you, that's a bad call. And you missed the face mask.
Well, there you go.
That's the best one.
I'm just going to tell you, that's a bad call.
And you missed the face mask.
Don't forget the face mask.
In 2.5 minutes, whatever that was when they put up on the website, the other stuff you can be somewhat cynical as you kind of were about. You know, like, is he kind of saying that for effect?
Yeah.
And you know. But the referee rant, it was,
if he had sprinkled in some swear words, then I would have believed that he didn't know he was mic'd. Because I've never heard a coach not.
I'm just going to tell you, that's a bad call.
That's a blanking bad call.
Maybe you get their respect more if you don't swear at them. Maybe you get the next call more likely. I don't know.
And you missed the blanket.
And you missed the face mask.
Yeah, again, that would be helped by some what would you call it?
Yeah.
Richer language.
Profanity. You're looking some profanity. And the Bears would not.
Well, what's the point of, I mean, Lovey didn't swear.
On their family-friendly website, if they included some profanity, that would have been edited out. How much do you think was edited out?
Jiminy Christmas. I don't know.
Okay, Lovey. So he was right on that play. Do you remember that one? That
of
was a Javon Wims.
That like, was the push from
not
the
me,
behind.
Not me. And when Javon Wims raised his hands, not me, I didn't commit a penalty, he invited the flag to be thrown.
Well, yeah. I think the flag should have been thrown. There were two face masks, I think, on that play. I don't know.
And you missed the face mask.
They missed the face mask.
They did.
And you missed the face mask.
They missed the face mask.
It would
mask.
Be upsetting. But, you know, the response from the official is, well, your guy blocked him in the back. He couldn't get a good enough face mask to call.
Now, come on. When you watched that and you heard that the whole 2.5 minutes, did you get an impression from Matt Nagy that was positive in a way that he connected with his players? Because that's what they wanted to come through, and it kind of did.
Okay.
You think so?
Kind of. Remember the time he had Mitch and he, in like, you could read his lips and Mitch was saying something and he was listening and he told him to shut.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Blake up.
I would like, would have liked to.
Where's that?
I would have loved for him to have been mic'd up in LA. And that the extended hug and the long embrace.
Listen, you've ruined my season. I'm not going to win Coach of the Year now, you son of a dog.
You know what, though? Whatever he said,
it worked.
He's been a different quarterback since.
Okay.
He's been
maybe
a better,
it was the encouraging whisper.
Maybe it was the reality of getting benched.
You've ruined our season.
I'm just going to tell you, that's a bad call.
You're a bad player.
He's been a different quarterback since that moment in L.A. He's been better, and every week.
But it wasn't a benching in any way. It was because of the hip pointer. Let's get that straight.
Okay, I'm sorry. Correct that for the record.
So you make it sound as if the
coach. I guess. Okay.
Well, I don't think that he would have been taken out under different circumstances.
I hope to God we can get someone next year.
Well, and as much as that may have been the feeling on the flight home from L.A., and I think that was the consensus around Chicago, right?
That's
like, God, you just got to do something about this quarterback position. How many people have bought into the idea that Mitch might be part of the solution more than he is the problem based on the last 2 weeks?
Have you bought into that?
I have not.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not, but I am curious, and I found it interesting at how the reaction to Thursday night's performance on national television has sort of shifted, let me say shifted, the narrative around Mitch Trubisky. And it leads me to believe that in the final three games, if he continues this momentum against very good teams, against teams that are better than the ones they have played, I can't predict the way this is going to go after the Vikings game.
If Mitch can duplicate his performance against Dallas on a weekly basis, then yes, he is the future of the franchise. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But again, when you look at that team and you looked at what they can do and what they can't do and how that played into Mitch's game, I think it's a legitimate issue to discuss, because we're going to find out in Green Bay if part of his success had to do with the team they were playing and the circumstance of the game, or if Mitch has turned a corner and is ready to light up the Packers the way he did the Cowboys.
And it's the right way to put it. If he can play three more games like he played Thursday night,
he's the man.
Then it will go a long way toward convincing everybody that he is the man and has that capability. It's just that I have, and I hope that happens, because that answers so many questions for everybody, right? But I don't have confidence that he's not going to take a step back in the final three games because of what happened before the Cowboys game leading up to that point.
All right, we're going to bring in Bruce Levine. We'll bring him in from the meetings. I know he had some interesting information. We'll find out if the Sox are on the verge of signing anyone. Probably not. And he talked to Rick Hahn, which the elusive Rick Hahn talked to Bruce, so that's fun. And we'll get his take on that. Mully and Hahn, the score.
And you missed the face mask!
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert, and he joins us now from the winter meetings. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing back in Chicago? Everything good there?
Oh, it's a glorious day. It's actually unseasonably warm. Apparently tomorrow is when the screw turns, so to speak. And we are hit with winter, but for right now, we're all fairly happy in life. Marcel Ozuna coming?
We'll keep you warm with some. Well,
you shot that down pretty.
He's probably paying his own way. Well, I mean, look, I talked to a source right away, and they said, you know, we don't have any deal done with him, and that's it. You know, the reports that he was coming to Chicago and he was going to sign with the White Sox on Monday, you know, for right now, they're erroneous. Does that mean that they won't sign him down the road? He doesn't really fit for what they're looking for. I mean, he is an RBI guy. He's a home run guy. Frank Menichino, the new hitting coach, worked with him in Florida with the Marlins. That's true years ago. But they need a left-handed hitter, and they need a left-handed hitting outfielder and a guy that can play the position.
Bruce, hold on one second.
We're going to try to reconnect with Bruce.
We're going to try to get...
And I would disagree with him because I think that you need a dynamic bat in that lineup, and right-handed, left-handed, if he's a run producer, he's a run producer.
Well, yeah, that would be great. And I'm not arguing with you about it. I think you need a couple different things, and obviously the pitching is probably the priority right now.
That's number one.
Yeah, but I mean... Am I greedy? You know me.
Yes.
I am very greedy. Get
very
it all.
Very greedy.
Bruce, you're back. Sorry about that. We were having
some issues. Yeah, you should be greedy. The White Sox have to go for it. This is the year that they're not going to be sitting on their hands. Obviously, missed out on Wheeler, and they had a nice attempt going for him, but that's not going to stop them from continuing to try to improve.
So, Bruce, in the good interview on Saturday on Inside the Clubhouse, you and Spiegs with Rick Hahn, what hints did he drop, if any? He played it pretty tight, close to the vest. Just wondered if you interpreted anything out of his words.
Well, it's just that, you know, we grilled him pretty good about, you know, the next level of pitchers. So you miss out on Wheeler. You're not going to be in the market for Cole or Strasburg at 7 or 8 years for $35 million a year. That's the stratosphere where the Yankees, Angels, and Dodgers are going to play. So the next tier is Keuchel, Bumgarner, and Ryu. Three left-handed hitters, pitchers. The White Sox do not have a left-handed starting pitcher right now. Rodon is at least July or August if he returns from Tommy John at that point, and then you don't know what you're getting the rest of the year. So Keuchel, Bumgarner, Ryu, all solid pitchers, all guys that have been stars in the league at one point or another, and what do they have left? How much can you project down the line? Are they the next guy? Will they be the John Lester of the Chicago White Sox coming in and leading the young staff to the next level, going back to the playoffs and staying there? So you have to look at them individually, and then you have to look at the marketplace. If Wheeler is $23 million, how much less are these guys, agents, going to be asking for them on long-term deals? Do you want to invest long-term money in these guys? And that's what Rick, you know, kind of alluded to, you know, that you have to be careful. It's the marketplace, but is it really the marketplace that you want to be playing in and how much do you want to play for?
You know, I guess when I sit here and think about what could be and what may happen and how things could work out, I wonder if, you know, say the Yankees do follow through with this and sign somebody for $275 million, whatever they're talking about with Gerrit Cole, does that make someone with the Yankees, you know, is there a Jose Contreras type that the Sox could then grab and develop and win with?
You mean from the Yankees?
Yeah.
You mean in a trade? Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. But, I mean, why are the Yankees going to help the White Sox out with a trade? You know, if what do the White Sox have to offer the Yankees that's going to be helpful to them, that they're going to give them a top prospect? The teams are so greedy with their young pitching in particular these days that they sit on them. I mean, you look at how the Dodgers won over 4 or 5 years, and they did it with not a lot of guys throwing 200 innings, but 6 or 7 different pitchers starting and being successful, but not starting 30 games, some of them 20, 25. So, you know, building a cachet of starting pitching is everything that the major league teams want to do these days. I don't know if you can count on that. And what do the White Sox really have to trade at this point in time? I mean, what's left to trade that they don't want on this present team to be competing for a championship over the next 2 years?
Bruce, Rick told you that he doesn't get caught up in the fact that it's the winter meetings and there's hype and there's attention and there's all sorts of focus on you know, the hot stove. But what is your prediction? Do you think the Sox make an announcement or signing this week?
You know, I would hope so, but you get caught up in the winter meetings here, guys, and, you know, the agents are everywhere, and they're all trying to make meetings with all the teams, multiple teams. They don't want to decide quickly. I think, you know, once again, Scott Boras is going to control a lot of the marketplace for starting pitchers. You know, he has the two top guys, and when these three big teams are concentrating on him, does he have time to talk about Keuchel or Ryu or some of the other players like Castellanos that he represents? How many hours in the day are there for him to be able to have meetings about multi-year, multi-million dollar contracts? So you wonder if during these meetings that he will run out of time to be able to get deals done for the guys that are the lower tier people.
So what do you do then? You got to wait, you got to bide your time and then watch the market kind of take off on you. I mean, it's, you know, if Boras won't negotiate for the players you're interested in, then he's not meeting the requirements of his job.
Well, he is. It's just that he doesn't have time for the lesser players necessarily when he's negotiating the biggest contracts in history for Cole and for Strasburg. But that said, I mean, he did negotiate a nice deal for Moustakas with the Reds last week, a 4-year deal for $64 million. So it's not like he works alone. He has 100 people working for him. He has probably 15 agents that work with him. So he's able to set meetings up. I mean, he's a tremendously organized guy. I'm not saying that he can't sign Keuchel or Ryu here, but the idea that you know, the whole industry is watching the Cole thing right now is kind of distracting from some of these other things happening right here and now. Everybody wants it during the winter meetings. It might not necessarily go that way.
Bruce, before we let you go, Ken Rosenthal reported that Nick Castellanos had not a chance to return to the Cubs, and also suggested that club officials are telling representatives of even low-budget free agents that the Cubs need to clear money before engaging in serious negotiations. What do you make of that?
Well, what do you think when we hear the name Bryant and Contreras on the marketplace, right? So that means that there are about $190 million committed already. Mr. Ricketts has already pretty much stated they're not going to go over the luxury tax tax, which is going to be at about $208 million. So you figure it out. If you want to improve your team, your Theo Epstein and your Jed Hoyer, how are you going to do that? And one way is to dump a big salary. Now, when you say dump, you're talking about Chris Bryant, one of the best players in Major League Baseball. You have to get an awful lot back. And, you know, teams like Atlanta, like Philadelphia, like San Diego are all interested in talking about a Contreras or talking about Chris Bryant. You know, so there have been a lot of conversations that the Cubs have had about, you know, possibly moving somebody. But until we find out a little bit more about Bryant's situation with his contract control, nobody's going to be totally comfortable trading for him. That said, I don't think they're rushing Bryant out the door. But you asked me a question. This is how you find the money to be able to continue to compete and add other players.
So who gets a deal done first, the Cubs or the Sox? Be it a trade, be it a signing, be it whatever.
I think one of the two teams is going to sign Keuchel. I think the Cubs are going to add a starting pitcher, a veteran starting pitcher as well. And I think Keuchel fits for them as well. A guy that you don't have to worry about his stuff slipping because he's not a 95-mile-an-hour hour pitcher. He's a guy that has command, and you could probably project for two or three more years being really good. Not great, but really good. So if I had to pick one or the other, I would pick probably maybe the Cubs sneaking in there and getting a guy like Keuchel.
Great stuff.
Thanks,
Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
So he's saying not maybe Cubs, maybe Sox, but by the end of the week it could be Chicago Keuchel.
Well, if Scott Boras has the time.
They are manic. Has there been any positive reports about the Cubs this offseason? Anything?
The report about dealing Wilson Contreras or shopping him, mm-hmm. you could turn that into a positive if you wanted to, Joe, but overall, I get your gist. No. Nothing that says, oh, wow, I'm excited about that.
Then there's David Ross, too.
Are you excited about that?
Is that
no.
a positive?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're not.
Falls into the negative category.
Okay. What? Rossi? what are you so skeptical
no,
about Rossi?
No, it doesn't. We've known for 3 years he's going to be the manager. It's really not going to matter. What really matters is which of these guys they end up, or multiple guys they end up trading.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
A lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, but sometimes, it's not about money. It's about location. It's about comfort. It's about, you know, whatever other factor may come into an individual's decision about where they want to work. That can be frustrating because you want these deals done yesterday, and you want to be able to convert on all your targets as quickly as possible, but there's a lot of factors that go into these things, and certainly the agent's plan in terms of how they want the market to unfold to maximize their guys' earnings and the timing of that market is a real factor.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Rick Hahn. He, of course, is the general manager of the White Sox, and he's talking about, be it Zach Wheeler, whomever, the player that doesn't want to come.
That was in indirect reference to Zach Wheeler during his interview Saturday and inside the clubhouse with Matt Spiegel and Bruce, and he didn't say any names, but he didn't have to. Everybody knew what he was talking about.
Sure.
Just like when they asked him about an agent that might be holding up proceedings over the winter with a couple clients, he didn't have to say Scott Boras for Rick Hahn to know who that Matt was talking about. It was, you know, you look at the White Sox and now, you know, I know Bruce said that Dallas Keuchel, he is now projected to possibly sign with the Cubs. But if you're the Sox, I do think you prioritize pitching over your right field situation, even though the Ozuna rumor is out there. If you don't get Keuchel, if you don't get Ryu, if you didn't get Wheeler, and you don't get Bumgarner, you're going to feel a little disappointed, aren't you, as a Sox fan, that you didn't get that starting pitcher that fits in that sort of category of being top tier or close to the top tier?
Well, as a Sox fan, I'm always going to feel disappointed. I don't know what you're driving at, but
that's a dumb question.
Yeah. No, look, I would like to see the Sox get something done, and I'm disappointed that they haven't been able to yet. And I'm really disappointed at the idea that you can't make a deal with Scott Boras because he's too busy making a deal for Gerrit Cole. If that's the case, then he is not fulfilling his fiduciary responsibility to all of his clients. And if that is the case, then I would imagine somebody should either leave him or sue him.
But you say that as if you don't believe that's the case. And well, I think we both know how they can things.
I'm not saying it's not the case, yeah. But I think to me it sounds like an excuse. You know, the Sox can't get anything. Well, you know, Boras is busy. The Sox don't want to deal with Boras. They don't want to make a deal with Scott Boras, right? Don't we know that? They've got one Scott Boras client and he is injured, and we'll see what happens when he comes back.
He's got too many guys that matter in free agency this offseason
to not deal with him.
Right. And to make that, you know, a possible reason for not getting who you're targeting. And if they are targeting Nick Castellanos, or if they're targeting Dallas Keuchel or Ryu, then it can't be because Scott Boras represents these clients that you don't sign them. It has to be something else. And you can't, I mean, this week there'll be a lot of focus on the next couple of days because everyone's convened at the same location. But
do you agree that there is a certain tax you have to pay if you're a team like the White Sox, that you have to pay beyond market value if you want to get a free agent?
I think there's free agency. There's the free agent tax that every team faces that reality. You're okay. Going to overpay in free agency, which we'll get to that in a second. But do the White Sox have to pay more because players don't want to come here? I would think that you could make that argument, but I would have a hard time believing it only because I think that if you're a player and the White Sox are going to, you know, be the highest bidder, you can easily talk yourself into...
What if you're Zach Wheeler?
Liking a lot about the organization. Everyone wants to get about Zach Wheeler. I don't have any reason to believe that Zach Wheeler said no to the White Sox for any other reason than for a personal family issue. And if he wanted to stay in, you know, on the East Coast because he's getting married and his fiancée is from New Jersey, and he thinks that Philadelphia offers him an opportunity to do that, then that's impossible to compete with if you're the White Sox. Impossible. You're not going to – there's no amount of money that you can offer if it's competitive.
Well,
and it's a couple million dollars.
Well, if it's a couple million more, then I understand it's family business. If it's 10 million more, does that change your mind?
It's irresponsible then because he's not worth it.
Okay, but if it takes 10 million more to get him to sign with you, how do you know he's not worth it? If he's your guy and you want – and I'm not suggesting – I'm going back to the original question, which is do you have to pay more?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that – you have a lot to offer if you're the White Sox. You have young players that are on the rise and an opportunity to win in the next few years. So if you're a free agent, you want to be part of that. Just like Yasmani Grandal. I mean, did they overpay for him? Was there a White Sox tax attached to the price for Yasmani Grandal?
I don't know. I don't know what other offers he had. I don't know what else he had going. I mean, they struck quickly with him, and they tried to strike quickly with Wheeler.
But you don't know. But the question sort of is posed, and some people have suggested that.
Did the Reds offer him the same amount of money?
It goes without saying that there has to be a White Sox tax. I don't know that that's true.
I don't know that it does, but I'm saying if you're choosing between the Cincinnati Reds or the Chicago White Sox, I mean, wouldn't you prefer to go to Chicago than Cincinnati unless – you want the National League over the American League?
I think you want to win. You know, I think you want to win and succeed and be put in a situation where you're going to have the most success. And the Reds, you could make the argument that they're more positioned to win a division than the Sox are this winter because they're going to enter spring training potentially as a favorite.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what was the deciding factor. Maybe the offer was better than the Reds. Maybe it was the young pitching staff that the White Sox have that appealed to Grandal so much that he's texting Rick Hahn a couple times per week. That came through in the interview about what he plans to do with these guys.
That was the best news that came out of that interview.
Yeah.
That Grandal is watching tape of all the Sox pitchers and coming up with plans on his own of different things that he thinks he can do to help them.
So I understand, though. I understand that there is baggage attached to everything when we talk about the White Sox and free agent pursuits and targets, because they've earned that derision, really, and that skepticism that comes with that. But I just don't know that it exists outside of Chicago. I don't know that there's a feeling amongst free agents, because I just can't speak to that boy, you know, they're going to look at the White Sox a little differently because they came up $50 million short with Manny Machado. Because I think every situation tends to be different in that, what's in it for me? Because if I'm being pursued by a team or an organization that has historically a bad track record with pursuing free agents, that may matter, but it doesn't to me if I hear what I want to hear and I'm getting what I want to get. And I still think that they're capable of doing that with the players that are out there in the marketplace.
Well, the Manny Machado thing is completely different, because the problem with the Manny Machado thing is that you had to explain that your deal was actually better because of what you could potentially get if this happened or that happened. It was weird. I also didn't appreciate, and maybe I'm wrong to feel this way, but the minute Wheeler signed with Philadelphia, it seemed like every national writer had a tweet about the White Sox paying more. It was almost as if the Sox wanted that out there. It was almost as if they were actively, well, we did pay more, so that their fan base wouldn't be disgusted by the fact that they were outbid.
Why does that bother you? I'm just curious. Why does that bother you? Because I would do the same thing. I would want it known.
Because you didn't get it done.
Well,
because $2 million is to me, it's. I mean, if you really wanted them that badly, then why wouldn't you kick? Why wouldn't you make it five? What's $2 million among friends? What's another three among compatriots? Come on. You can cough a little. I didn't like that you're trying to spin the fact that the guy didn't want to be with your team. And everybody was, oh, well, it had to do with his wife, and it had to do. And I'm not saying it didn't, but I don't know what it had to do with.
You're kind of saying it didn't.
Well, I'm saying that I thought they were going to get the deal done, and they didn't. So
right.
I wasn't pleased by that.
So, but you shouldn't be pleased, and they should have been disappointed. But I think if I'm disappointed, and I know that responsibly I feel like we did everything within our power to make the fairest offer, the most responsible offer, and he said no anyway, you're caught in a, I don't know what more you can do. And I understand the disappointment, but if I'm talking to people that are asking me questions about why you didn't get Zach Wheeler.
How much did the guy sign for?
$118 million.
Okay, so you were offering $120.
Right.
Once you get to $118, isn't that crazy money anyway?
It is crazy money.
So why not offer $125?
Because
that's a huge difference.
If you're convinced that it's not going to make a difference because he feels convicted to make a decision based on reasons that are beyond money, because from the player's perspective, what's the difference between making $20 and $22 million per year?
And there is a fine line between, you know, overpaying a guy like Zach Wheeler. He's a very good pitcher, but you don't want to give him $180 million.
I'm not offering $180. I'm saying make him make a decision. You know, if you're making that much money, does $2 million matter? Or is your wife's happiness more important? If it's $7 million, hey, hon, I love you, but let's talk for a second.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's one way to look at it. I mean, I
guess I'm being too negative.
No.
We're getting texts from people who don't appreciate my viewpoint on the White Sox.
But you're not the only person that has that viewpoint on the White Sox. I think as I began this conversation, there's a derision or a skepticism that they have earned. And I think that they're sensitive to. And they're so sensitive to that they feel compelled to clarify why they didn't get the guy that they wanted.
I agree. And I'm not that's not a negative response. That's just, you know, either you get it done or you don't get it done. And I don't know that I want to hear about the explanation of why you didn't get it done. You didn't get it done.
This is what you'd like to hear next. You'd like to hear a press conference with Nick Castellanos explaining how difficult it was to lure him away from the Cubs or whoever else, because you had the highest offer, but you had the most to offer from an organizational standpoint. And that's why he signed with you. That's the next, you know, that's the next positive conversation you'd like to have if you're a Sox fan, or you might want a pitcher first.
Yeah. I mean,
you want both.
I want it all. I told you. I think we've come up with the conclusion that I'm way greedy about this stuff. But I would like it all, and I feel like that they're trying to get it all. I think that's what they're trying to explain to us. But it's a little disappointing.
The Grandel signing, though, was encouraging, wasn't it?
Yes, it was,
because they got him, and everybody
and
wanted him.
And I thought everyone wanted him. Well, we know that he was wanted, and they did get him. And then the idea was that instead of signing friends and family, you're getting the framer that will bring the pitcher. And then that didn't happen. That's all I'm saying. I'm not sitting here messing with the White Sox. I'm just saying it's a pity that they didn't get that one done, because I felt really good about the one leading to the other, and I thought that was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And now I'm in pause myself. I'm kind of reflecting and waiting, and I'm going to see what happens. But don't tell me that you got to wait before you can make any move with a pitcher. You got to wait until until Gerrit Cole signs, because that's ridiculous. You got to wait for well, you know, Scott Boras is so busy. I'd love them to get in touch with
Boras. But he ordered
Boras
the steak and he wanted it well done, so you have to wait another 10 minutes for Boras to be available.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, come on. That just rang hollow to me. And I think there's sometimes there are things that ring hollow.
It didn't ring hollow with you. It rubbed you the wrong way.
Okay, well,
it totally rubbed you the wrong way.
Totally rang hollow.
Jerry really stepped up.
All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Connor next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.